RadioInfluence.com.
Flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles will flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here.
Welcome to Flavor in Your Ear. This is Ian Beckles hanging out at the Dignitary Lounge. This is a podcast where we talk a little bit about pop culture, talk a little bit about politics and whatever is going on in the world. Sports and politics are intermingled right now, so we're going to do a little of that today. You can't talk about the NFL without talking about politics at the moment. So this young man who's sitting here from the Bronx, David Penzer, how you feeling today, brother? You doing good?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me.
No, my pleasure. My pleasure. Now, you have listened to my podcast before.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself before we get it started. You went to UF.
Yeah, only for a couple of years. That didn't work out
too
good.
That's enough, right? No, you can't. You don't claim UF?
Actually, I've always been a Hurricane fan.
Okay, it's okay.
I grew up in South Florida, so even before I went to college, I was a Hurricane fan.
Do you know the name Alonzo Highsmith?
Sure.
Well, I grew up with Alonzo Highsmith.
Really?
Like, I grew up in the same neighborhood as Alonzo Highsmith, and I have 100 Alonzo Highsmith stories, and not saying I told you so and I knew, you knew very early. I knew Alonzo when he was 6.
Wow.
He was a Wolverine, pit bull, whatever it was, at 6 years old, all the way through till he stopped playing football. He was that way at the U as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, they say when he got there at the U, it kind of changed the attitude of everybody because he's going to knock somebody's head off. And I was a big U fan too back in the day too.
I'm hoping for big things with Mark Richt. And so we'll see.
Yeah, you guys have been hoping for a long time now.
I know. Well, trust me, I know it.
Yeah, you do.
They said we hadn't beaten FSU in 7 years and I would have bet it was 15.
It does seem like a long, long time.
Yeah.
It's just been a long time since the U has really been the U.
Oh, absolutely.
Like
absolutely.
Literally 90s?
Yeah, pretty much.
90s.
It's not, especially with all the success that FSU has had and the success that Florida has had to a lesser extent.
Even USF been better than USF has been better
but
than
But when I moved here, I sort of became a USF fan too. So, sure. But I would still root for the Hurricanes if they played USF. That was always interesting.
No doubt.
My son goes to USF, so.
Okay, well, I'm a Bull fan myself. If they lose, I don't lose any sleep, but
Definitely
want them to win.
Easy schedule this year, so should be interesting.
So far. If they got to run a table, you never know. Now, you were talking a wrestling announcer. How did you get into wrestling?
It wasn't easy. I had to kiss a lot of can I say ass?
Oh, you can say any word that you want. No, literally. This is a podcast. Nobody's going to say anything, but you can say any word.
I had to kiss a lot of ass. I had to put up a lot of rings. I had to drive a lot of people and do a lot for not a lot of money. And I got lucky. I could talk on a microphone. I used to be a mobile DJ when I was in high school, make some extra change on the weekend. So, they had an opening in World Championship Wrestling. I had been bringing guys up and down. They're called enhancement guys, job guys. Not sure if you're familiar with the term. Back in the day, it was like a famous wrestler versus I don't want to say nobody, but somebody that was just starting.
An up-and-comer.
Yeah, up-and-comer. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty much a one-sided match. And so what I didn't know until I found out through a friend of mine is that there were different bookers who booked the enhancement talent. They had a guy in Alabama, they had a guy in North Carolina, they had a guy in Ohio, and those bookers were also wrestlers, so they would come up and they would do the matches and get paid, and then get paid for bringing the guys. Well, they didn't have one in Florida. I lived in South Florida at the time, so I was starting in Fort Lauderdale, going across Alligator Alley, up 75, across I-4, picking up guys along the way. They'd give me $25, and we'd drive to different places in Georgia, Marietta, Macon, different places where they had tapings. This is every week. Well, I didn't wrestle, so I started helping out, running guys for promos and stuff like that. And they had an opening after a couple of years for ring announcer, and I was able to do it. And I was the second string ring announcer, and Then the main guy left. I actually just interviewed him on my podcast.
Did
City
you hit
Ringside.
Him with a metal pole in his
no,
shins?
No. We actually just talked about that. He's the podcast City Ringside that I do dropped on Monday, and we interviewed. His name was Gary Capetta, and so he was done with the politics of it. I got the gig, and Monday Night Show started. If you remember that, and the Monday Night Wars, and I was the ring announcer, and you know, for all the different shows, and for all, you know, traveled the world, got to be friends with most of the guys, and
a lot of whom are probably dead, unfortunately. A lot of wrestlers,
unfortunately,
and I don't believe in luck. I mean, that story right there had no luck involved in it. You grinded it out, you put it in, and you put in the work, and eventually everybody saw the hard work, yeah, and it turns into something.
Absolutely.
Every story starts,
but
like
you
that.
Need, but you needed luck in that situation.
Don't believe in it. I don't believe in it.
Nope.
I mean, when I start off in radio, somebody said, hey, you'd be great radio, got in, was literally making 8 cents a show for quite a long time. You got to kind of take it. And after a while, people hear your voice, and they become accustomed to it. And then finally you make a little bit of money. But it has to do with hard. If you don't put it down hard work, it ain't going to happen.
I'm still waiting for the little bit of money part, but I got to live my dreams. So So that's even more important.
Well, that's half the battle. Now, growing up, I don't know how old you are. That's irrelevant. But growing up, I grew up in Montreal, Canada, and wrestling is huge in Montreal. Growing up, that was one of the hubs because there was a lot of French wrestlers way back when, Carpentier and you know, Andre the Giant and those guys. Like the Road Warriors used to work out in my gym, King Tonga, guys like that. Who were the wrestlers that you grew up admiring? I mean, you obviously were very close to the whole situation.
Yeah, Dusty Rhodes, Terry Funk, Bugsy McGraw, the local guys that wrestled here for the most part. You know, so Terry Funk and Dusty Rhodes were my two favorites, and they were always on the opposite side of the ring. But I was always enamored with the storylines of it. You know, I wasn't what they call quote unquote smart at the time. I didn't know, you know, exactly what went into it because they was a much different business than it is now. But as far as people knowing what goes on, but I just was always enamored how two guys in tights could get, you know, 5,000 people going nuts. And
it's a good question.
And so, you know, for me, it was always something that I thought was intriguing. And I've been lucky enough down, you know, throughout my career, either full-time or part-time in the business, to be able to be involved in creating some storylines and stuff like that. So it's been really cool to be able to be on the other side of that.
No doubt. Now, talking to David Penzer, born here?
I was born in the Bronx, moved down to South Florida when I was 6 years old.
Okay.
A stint in Atlanta when I worked for WCW when we were based in Atlanta. It's been South Florida, or I've been here for the last 16 years.
Okay, so you're a Buccaneer fan then?
I'm more of a fantasy football fan.
Wait. You're too old to just be a fantasy football fan. Fantasy football hasn't been around that long.
No.
So what were you before that?
I root for the Buccaneers, but like last week I had Chris Hogan in a league. So if Chris Hogan did okay against the Bucks, then I was okay with that, but I wanted the Bucks at the end to somehow win. And you're the expert, but if they had a kicker, they probably would have.
They could have. It would have been a whole different game, but you can't do that in sports.
Yeah.
You can't do that. It would have been the whole complexion of the game.
Sure, absolutely.
If he makes a first field goal, they may lose by 40.
Yeah.
That's how funny football is sometimes.
Because Brady goes on a run. And,
you don't know.
And so, yeah,
the ball bounces different. It's a whole different equation.
But everybody's looking at Nick Folko, and it's your fault.
Oh, he's the main reason.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the main reason. He's got to go. You can't have 50-something other players busting their ass all week long and then have 2 weeks in a row where he didn't single-handedly lose the game, but he was a big reason why they lost the game. So the Bucks have been through Aguayo, who, you know, got cut in the offseason or in the preseason, which he should have, and now Folk has got cut. Now they're bringing another young kid who we don't know. Okay, if he can't kick, there's a problem.
Hasn't he been here before?
Back in the day, he was here for a little bit. But if he can't kick, that's a problem. You just can't keep on cutting people because the caliber of player doesn't get better. Because right now, when you're going and looking for a kicker, and there's 31 kickers out there that have jobs, you're not getting the cream of the crop.
No, absolutely.
You're getting what's
not.
Left.
Although the Chargers just brought a kid from the Carolina practice squad, and he's been like 9 out of 10 in 2 weeks. So
okay, well, that's good.
He kicked a 52-yarder in last week's game.
And if I have a nickel for every time that happens and the guy ends up getting cut, I mean, the crazy things happen. There you could be 9 out of 10 for the beginning, but things change.
There you go. Now, but my heart is with the Buccaneers, but my head and my bank account is with my wallet is with my fantasy team.
Well, it sounds serious. I'm in one fantasy league, and it's like $100 in there or something like that. I don't know how much you win, but
we got one that I call the money league that's pretty lucrative.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like lucrative?
Well, not Ian Beckles lucrative. David
Well, I just
Penn's
told you, I'm in a $100 league. That's pretty lucrative to me, bro. I mean, I work for myself, so $100 is a lot of money.
To me, it's more about the competition. I tend to as you probably realize with all the time I spent trying to get myself in the wrestling business, I tend to immerse myself in things that I'm interested in. So
that's not a bad
I'm
thing.
Kind of really into fantasy football, so I kind of get obsessed with it for 16 weeks, and then I don't even really think about it until it's time to draft next year.
Who do I play this week? I already made the decision. Who do I play this week? Roethlisberger or Phillip Rivers?
I got burned by Roethlisberger last week bad.
I benched him last week. I don't know if I'm going to play him again. I'm not sure.
You did the right. Well, I got a trade offer for him. I don't know why somebody actually wanted him. They were offering me nobody, so I didn't take it. But
no, you can't do that yet.
You know, they offered me somebody. The backup got it, Lamar Miller of the Houston Texans. But it wasn't going to help me. But, yeah, I would go with Phillip Rivers because Roethlisberger, I'm starting to wonder. Five interceptions. I mean, I don't know. You're the NFL guy. It's a Jacksonville defense that good? I know they're young.
They're not bad.
Talented.
They're not bad. But listen,
well, good,
if you
I'm starting them this week.
Yeah. Well, anybody that gets down in a game in the NFL, it's hard to play quarterback. When you have to throw the ball in the NFL, it's just not a great equation for success. Now, you know, we were talking earlier about politics and sports and how they're intermingled and intertwined. You have to be living under a rock to not really be hearing about all this national anthem stuff. So I've been talking about this for a while. It's not going away. It's not even close to going away. It's actually more in the forefront because it was just an NFL thing. Then the president spoke out. Then it became a United States thing. It's always been kind of a black and white thing. It's a good and bad thing, us and them thing, but it's very divisive, no doubt about that. First and foremost, let's hear your opinion on the athletes. Or Colin Kaepernick initially kneeling down. Let me know what you thought about that.
First of all, just so we could establish, I've never talked politics on the air before or anything like that. So this is new for me. I like to. I'm obsessed with politics. I lean right when it comes to fiscal stuff. When it comes to social stuff, I'm more of a Democrat. But I am a Trump supporter, although. I roll my eyes at a lot of what he says, and
which makes it better, by the way. You could be I've said millions of times, you're not wrong if you voted for Trump. I really truly believe that. There was two picks, Hillary and Trump. They both sucked to me.
Absolutely.
So if you pick Trump, you're not wrong. But if you're not rolling your eyes, you're wrong. Okay?
No. Rolled my eyes this morning, so it doesn't.
At which one?
Oh God, San Juan. I understand what he's saying, but I'm thinking on the day that I'm coming and meeting Ian Beckles and discussing politics with him, and this is what you're gonna hand me, Trump. I'm thinking.
But you think he hands you good stuff every day? If you're a Trump fan, every day you wake up and you look at the news, you're like, oh man, how am I gonna explain this to everybody? You have to be thinking that because every day he tweets or says something. That has to be explained by the masses.
Yeah, the tweeting doesn't help. The tweeting doesn't help.
Or his voice doesn't help either.
And I know last week I heard you say that he got the wrong playbook when it came to how to handle.
Yeah, he got the one how not to do it.
I think I would agree with you. I think he got a different playbook than all the other presidents we've had.
There's no doubt.
Now, whether it's right or wrong, I think sometimes different could be better. I think sometimes. It, to be a little bit more frank is not a bad thing in this country because a lot of people talk in circles in politics, and sometimes it's refreshing to hear somebody telling the truth. Yeah, but Puerto Rico doesn't need to hear that FEMA's not staying there forever when they're still 85% without power. And what he said today, by the way, I'm not going to defend it. What he said was technically true, but don't put it out. Come on. So we've established that while I'm a Trump supporter, I roll my eyes and don't agree with a lot of what he says. As far as the NFL goes, that's what you asked me about. Mm-hmm. We could get back to Puerto Rico.
Oh, we want.
My problem is more the media and how the media handles this all, but hopefully we'll get into that as well. As far as the national anthem, it doesn't bother me personally.
That he's kneeling.
No, that the people are kneeling doesn't bother me. I know a lot of people that will not watch football anymore. People in my fantasy football league I squeaked out a win over a guy, and I called him and I said, "Will you on Monday night?" And I said, or he squeaked out a win over me. I said, "Will you following that?" All the new quarterback for Trubisky had to do was not throw an interception the last 4 minutes of the game, and I would have won. And you ended up winning. He goes, "No." He goes, "I don't watch it anymore. I'm really turned off by the whole national anthem thing." And there's a lot of people that I know that are like that. And let me tell you why. It's not because they're kneeling. It's because they're kneeling at work. And it's a sporting event. When people watch sports, just like when they watch movies, they want to get away from the craziness that's going on. And no matter what you say, there's craziness that's going on today when it comes to politics, whether you're a Trump guy or you hate Trump or whatever, somewhere in the middle. It's crazy. And so people tell me, and I understand it, that when they watch, and I hear this a lot, when they watch sports, they want to get away from that. If they want to watch politics, they'll turn on CNN or Fox News or something like that.
So let me interject here for a second, okay?
Sure.
I'm okay with everything you said, but if you watch CNN, and I do, I watch all of them. Like, I watch from Bill Maher to Hannity to, like, all of them.
I do too.
I want to catch all the angles.
Yeah, I do too.
So I watch that a lot. So I watch football all day, and it's what I do. I understand that people are watching football to get away from politics, but I have a problem with Trump supporters bitching about it when he did it. It wasn't a big deal. It was not a big deal until Trump said something. We weren't even talking about athletes kneeling until Trump told Americans that they had to do something that was in their lawful right to do.
Well, I think what he said, you're not wrong, Ian, but I think what he said was when you're at work, you should have to follow the rules of your employer. And I think there's something to that. The Yankees, the New York Yankees, have a policy where players can't have facial hair. Is that fair? If you have a beard and you're proud of it, and, you know, because beards are in these days, and you go to get traded to the Yankees and they say, "Sorry, got to shave that beard." Is that fair? Do you have a constitutional right to have that beard? I would say you have a constitutional right to have the beard, but the Yankees rule is if you want to play for the New York Yankees, you can't have facial hair on your face.
Other than sports, where else do they do that?
Well, the NFL. The NFL.
Well, that's other than sports. Where else do they do that? Other than sports, where else do you have to stand for the national anthem? Because everybody acts like sports is a normal job. Sports is not a normal job. I'm sitting in a bar and I'm listening to everybody execute athletes for not standing up for the national anthem. And then I realize we're at a bar and everybody's sitting. So if the national anthem is that sacred and that important, if you're at a bar, should you not stand? Isn't it hypocritical to not stand? So the people that aren't standing at the bar are going, "They're not American. You're terribly American. I should have stood up and go, all y'all ain't American, and all y'all should be fired," just like the president
said.
Well,
what I would say is if you're in a bar and you take a knee, I think that would be disrespectful as well.
Once again, would it be if nobody else is standing? Because initially, Colin Kaepernick talked to a Green Beret, I guess, and the Green Beret said sitting down is disrespectful. Kneel, and it's not disrespectful. So some people think it's not disrespectful. Some people think it is. Some people think if you kneel, it isn't. And it's all different opinions. And to me, it's just an opinion, and I'm okay with everybody having the individual opinions. But keep it to your damn self. That's to me. Like, the president should keep it to himself. He's not better than anybody, okay? He's putting himself above all the NFL players, and he's putting himself as he's more American than them because he stands for a national anthem. When he says things every day that are grossly un-American, grossly. American should be about us all embracing all colors, all ethnicities, all walks of life, and that is not our president. Not through my eyes.
I agree that what you said, that America should be, certainly. So what I would say is that, well, you're right, that's what America stands for. I would say that it's not that cut and dry. I would say that, and here's the thing, Ian, even the most left-leaning of polls show that the president has the American people's backing on this.
Is that good or bad? If you say it's good, I'll say, disagree. That's what I'm going
to
say.
Well, here's you want to get to the root of it? You want to get to the real root of it? About why did it start? It started because Colin Kaepernick was kneeling or wasn't standing, whatever he was doing, and then he changed to what he was doing because of racial inequality, correct?
That's where it started.
Okay.
Not with him kneeling.
Correct.
It started with racial inequality. Okay. That's where it started, and it's not brought up nearly enough.
I agree. And I think that this country has to have some serious discussions about racial inequality.
Have we?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, so all we're talking about is athletes kneeling, and I would say to anybody out there, since Colin Kaepernick knelt a year and a half ago, give me one individual thing that's happened to let us move towards equality.
There's not, and that's the shame of it all. And I'll tell you a couple of things. When I say that, when I go on my social media on Facebook, because I don't talk politics on Twitter, but when I talk on Facebook and I say that we need to sit down and we need to have a conversation, a serious conversation, and talk some serious, serious, honest facts and opinions, because there's things that if one person says they have an, says, and you're a racist. And,
agree with what you're saying.
So I think we have to have a serious conversation. There's a couple reasons. And when I say you have to have a serious conversations, I have African American friends on Facebook who tell me that you'll never know what goes on because you're.
Do you think you will?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, just say no.
No,
what
I don't.
What ethnicity are you?
I'm white.
Okay. I don't know what it's like to be white. I have no idea. And when say a white person is being oppressed, I've not seen it. It will be. If a white person is in a black neighborhood, you're being oppressed. All right? So it doesn't happen very often. So there's not going to be a lot of oppression of white people in America. So to me, if it's a Hispanic person that's going through something, before I comment on it, like I know, I'll ask my Hispanic friends. I would just say, have the same courtesy when you haven't walked in the shoes.
Oh, and I do.
Because there's still people saying, and I quote, We're a lot better than we were. Okay, are you going back to slavery? Yes, we are better than that. But when you say we're a lot better than our were, in every aspect and walk of life, we're better than we were. But we're certainly not where you think we are.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all with that. Here's one of my major problems, and I don't know if you're going to agree with me or disagree. We'll see.
We'll find out.
I think that one of the problems is that you have people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton who need the money and the power that comes with the division that stoke these problems instead of really want to solve them. And until we get rid of those people, and there's people on the other side that do it too, but the two that pop out at me are Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. And I think until we get rid of those people that are stoking the flames for political power and money, then it's going to be hard to have the conversation that everybody that I think at least think that we should have.
Well, as an African-American man, okay, that makes my feelers go up. And let me say this. When Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton show up at an event, I shake my head. You know why? Because I know that the majority of white America are going, oh, you see, here comes Jesse and here comes Al. And it almost discredits it a little bit. Now, listen to this, okay? There's so many situations happening all over the country all the time, okay? Every time a black man stands up and speaks, we're hearing this. That's not the right stage. So what stages do black men have? For a black athlete, okay, when you talk about a stage, J.T. Brown the other day for the Lightning put his fist up. That's it. He just put his right fist up. He didn't say anything. He put his right fist up. He had death threats, racial slurs against him,
and
all these
horrible
things. Of course it's horrible. But this is the thing. Everybody is saying these are not the right stages. If an NFL football field where the black people are majority, or an NBA basketball court where the black people are majority, Those are the only two places anywhere in the United States where the black people are majority. I can't think of another one. Okay. Where? What other stage is there? If you don't allow them to have that stage, what stage is there?
I think that in this political environment, especially, that there are tons of stages that platforms that they could have. I guarantee you CNN, MSNBC would give them any of those athletes a town hall style meeting. They love CNN, especially loves these new town halls where they could pit people against each other, but or discuss situations okay, that are going
okay,
on.
Okay, but okay, listen. If you put Michael Bennett up against Rush Limbaugh, what the hell is that proving to black people?
No.
Because that's not the right stage. Now, once again, you don't want it to be the right stage, but we're all talking about it. It's the perfect stage. Because in other stages or anywhere else, people are just going to go, forget about it. But this is America's sport, okay? And the other problem is, going back to the cause where Colin Kaepernick was trying to get across to begin with, you're thinking about the oppression and the holding back of black people, okay? That's why he knelt. But think about this, just as a black person for a second. Forget about your Caucasian and try to be black for a second, okay? It's hard. I can't do the other way. I can't do it, but just try it for a second. So you are all for the reason why Colin Kaepernick knelt, okay? Not against any rules. This is the other part that's very, very important. He's not hurting one single soul. He's not hurting one person mentally, physically, because you could change the channel. You cannot watch football, and you can just say, I'm done. So he's not hurting one person, okay? So because of him and his constitutional right to kneel, they're going to get 32 billionaires get in the room and tell him he has to stand. You see how counterproductive that is? He's kneeling because there's young men getting abused and beat up everywhere around the country, and they're not going to let him do that. And it's his right. So I don't see how they believe that's bringing us together. And that's not divisive.
It's not bringing us together.
It's uber divisive.
It's not bringing us together, obviously. But here's the end of the day. They're allowed to do whatever they want.
But no, they're not. Because the owners are getting together. And the owners and the president are going to tell them they have to stand. And when they sit, they're going to put them on the bench, and that
the
is the
only
most
reason
thing
why
I've ever
the
heard.
Owners would tell them they have to stand.
Their
is
money,
if the, exactly. It's free. It's free enterprise.
So forget
you
about
know,
that.
I'm
so
sitting in this
about
wonderful,
their constitutional
cool,
right, though.
No, but I'm sitting in this wonderful, cool office that you have. You know, I don't really know you, but it's an awesome place with a bar and speakers, and I don't want to give away your.
Go ahead.
It's awesome, it's and you got this because you worked hard because of the free enterprise system that this country brings. And part of a free enterprise is the market dictates what is what's successful and what's not successful. And while, again, I started this conversation by saying it doesn't bother me if they kneel. Personally, it doesn't bother me. I just know people that it does. Okay? So what I'm saying is if it bothers people and they turn off the TV and they stop buying tickets and they stop going to games and they stop supporting the advertisers, then the owners of these teams and the head of the president of the NFL have a decision to make.
Right.
So, and that's just the way that the free enterprise works. So that's why I'm saying I wish they wouldn't do it at their jobs. I wish that they would find other, and I know you're saying it's hard, but I'd love to be able to have networks give.
Should actors do it?
Should actors.
If an actor is at an awards banquet, should he do it?
Neil?
Speak on government and the inequalities. Is that a good time? If you say no, then we shouldn't talk.
Yeah.
There's nowhere else where African Americans make a lot of money. So if you don't want them to do it on the sports field, you don't want to do it on the actors, there's nowhere else. So we're just sitting back going, we should just shut up.
Well, there's all these late night shows that obviously can't stand Trump that will give these people a platform. Liberal television outlets that obviously hate Trump that will give, I mean, they'll put anybody on there who will say anything negative when it comes to Donald Trump.
Okay, but what good does it do if you're going on a platform that's created for that? So when Bill Maher goes on a stage and he's speaking out against Donald Trump, he's not talking to Donald Trump haters. He's talking to, he is talking to Donald Trump. He's not talking to Donald Trump lovers. They don't listen to Bill Maher. So you're not really affecting anybody. So an NFL player doesn't want to go up there and go head to head against somebody who's versed in that, and that's what they do for a living, and they read up on that. That's a terrible state. And they're NFL football players. You know what? They didn't even say anything. They just knelt down. That's all they said.
You know what? I don't disagree with you, but if but here's the kicker. The kicker. Thank you very much. But we're back to kickers now.
Back to kickers.
If they're not allowed to kneel now because the owners tell them they can't kneel.
That's unlawful.
It's not unlawful.
It is unlawful.
It's the same as the Yankees saying you can't have facial hair.
Okay, but if somebody, nobody mess with them because it's the Yankees.
Oh,
but if the owners say you can't kneel and somebody kneels and there's repercussions, they're going straight to court. I'm
sure,
telling you.
Everything ends up in court.
I understand that, but they don't have to stand. It's what happened if the owner says, I want him arrested, he's kneeling? What happens if that happens?
Well, not arrested. Okay, he has a right to do it.
But so anybody has a right to say you have to do anything on their premise? Is that the way it works?
No, they have a right to kneel. For sure they have a right to kneel at the national anthem. They have a right to do whatever
right
they want.
Stop right there. It's in the Constitution.
Sure.
You should stop right there, but you're going to continue to talk.
What I'm saying is that the owner, the employers have a right to do something about it if they feel it's not good for business. If you work at for iHeartRadio and iHeartRadio says we're going to implement a dress code and you say, you know what, screw that. I don't want to wear a tie to work and I have a constitutional right not to.
But they have to tell me before I get that job what the rules are. The NFL never told anybody. It's not in writing. They're never told that you have to stand for the anthem. They never told that. If you're in a job and if the guy tells me, well, Ian, you have to wear a suit every day, I would say, well, thank you, sir. I don't want this job. It's not for me. But you can't do something for years and all of a sudden say, oh, no, you have to stand.
Look, I'm not saying this isn't a big cluster, you know what.
You sure it is? And it's going to get worse. Gerald McCoy came out, and I never agree with Gerald McCoy. I never do. And he came out and said, it's going to be a fiasco, and that's a fact. And it's not going to be a clean fiasco. It's going to be an ugly, dirty fiasco, and it's already there.
So my question to you is, how do you fix it?
I can fix it right now.
How?
Leave them in the locker room. All of them. Every last one of them. We don't lose Jack. If we put them in the locker room and after the anthem, who, by the way, anybody in the stands who doesn't want to stand doesn't have to stand. They can sit if they want. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, you sit. You can't make that guy stand. Leave them in the locker room. When the anthem's over, they run out and they play football and do what their job is.
I don't have a problem with that.
Because standing is not their job.
I don't have a problem with that. But when I said fix it, I didn't mean fix sitting kneeling with the national
anthem. You can't fix equality.
How do you fix the bigger problem?
You can't fix a bigger problem because we're different.
So that's it.
Period. Period.
Well, that's sad.
Is it though?
Yeah, because to me.
Okay, but this is we're also in a world of reality. Okay, if you're a black man in America, which is majority white, you're the minority. Okay, you're not going to be treated equal. If you go to Africa, there's a bunch of black people, and you come up, you're not going to be treated equally. If I go to Asia and there's Asian people, I'm not going to be treated equally. So for us to be treated the same is impossible. We don't look the same. So people look at people, and whether they say so or not, I'm married to a white woman. I grew up in Montreal. I went to school in Iowa and Indiana. I've seen a lot of stuff, okay? If you think you can change what's in your family, go ahead and try. There's way more than in your family because way back when in the South, in the Midwest, a lot of those places, they're not going to change because nobody's around them attempting to change them. So this is not going to change in America anytime soon. Do I want to live in, you know, everything's kumbaya? It'd be wonderful.
That's sad. You may not be wrong, but that's sad. And at least to me, because I don't see color. I don't see.
Sure you do.
I really do.
Sure you do. Absolutely. I absolutely do. You absolutely see color. Everybody sees, you know why? It's a color. What color is this and what color is that? One's black and one's white. That's a color. That's literal. And I don't care what you say. If we're playing pickup basketball and you know anything about me and Jason and we're young, you're going to pick me. I don't care what you say. I don't. If I have a math test and there's a Jewish guy and a black guy, I'm going to cheat out the Jewish guy. Does that make me a racist? whatever.
I'm Jewish, and I flunked out of college. So.
Well, I would have made a bad decision with you. Yeah, but absolutely. I grew up with a lot of Jewish people, okay? And I've seen a lot of cultures. Italian people are different than Hispanic people, different than Jewish people, are different than Asian people, are different than Black people. Their philosophies are different. When I go to the Jewish family, their dad's teaching them about economics. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, my parents never talked about economics, okay? So is it a generalization or is it the way of life? So being a general is not being a racist. People use that word racist so much.
Oh, I agree with you. It's
I asked somebody this the other day. I was on Mike Calter's show, and everybody's throwing the word racist around. And I said, let me ask you this. If you go in South Tampa and you take 100 families, how many of those families do you think want their daughter to date a Black guy? And everybody was thinking about it. I go, really think about it now. And I talked about it with my wife, and I said 20%, and she looks at me, she goes, it's too high. And that's my white wife saying that, okay? That's not me being militant. I said 20%. She goes, no way. She's around it. So it's not going to change. We got to try to make it as good as we can. But once again, if you go way back to Rodney King, and you can go back to Martin Luther King, and you can go back to everything, all the way to Colin Kaepernick, nobody can really show me anything that was done individually to help what's actually happening. Like, these, when an NFL football player messes up, they have seminars teaching them how to do things the right way. Let's get some seminars for some cops.
I don't disagree.
You know what I mean? And listen, just like NFL players and cops, there's some great cops and some great players, and there's some stinking cops. So let's get a seminar and make sure they all know how to do things properly.
But I think we also have to understand that all cops are not bad people. All cops are not racist.
Fact.
And there are some groups that would have you believe that all cops are racist. They chant things that basically say that, whether they're just getting caught up in the chants or whether they don't really believe that, or whether they really believe that. And again, I've not grown up in the inner city. So mm-hmm. when you say you, people say to me, like I said earlier, people say you don't know because you've never lived it. I've never lived it. But when you say
have to be an inner city. You just don't.
Of course, I don't know what it's like, but I want to try. Personally, I want to try to find out what it's like, and I want to fix the problem of why I look at videos and I see Black youth being treated different by police, maybe not getting shot and killed or beat up, but being treated different than white youth. And I want to talk to people and find out how we can fix that, because that shouldn't happen. And if you're telling me as a Black man that it's always going to happen and there's nothing we can do to fix it, me, that's a sad commentary.
Okay, but once it's a sad, real commentary, because once again, I live in South Tampa. That's literally like never, never land. Okay, it's a clean area. It's not dirty out. There's not a lot of strife. There's not a lot of anything. Now, if you watch the movie Straight Outta Compton, okay, and you have Ice Cube and those guys back in the day who had money and were successful, and the cops pull them over because they're drinking sodas on the street. What are you doing? And they push their face into the ground. Now, all of a sudden, to them, cops are bad. That's all that they're exposed to. They're not exposed to Joe Nice Cop like I'm exposed to in South Tampa. I'm driving my nice car in South Tampa down the back streets, and I get pulled over, right? And I get pulled over, and the cop says, you're Ian Beckles? Because he looked my tag up and thought I was Ian Beckles. He pulled me over. He says, I'm a huge fan. Doesn't happen in Compton. You see the difference?
No, I absolutely see the difference.
So I wasn't exposed to that, but a lot of people don't think, they still don't believe that it's happening. When we're seeing a lot of videotapes of it happening. So every videotape that we see it's happening, we got to figure it happens 1,000 times without a videotape. So let's move on. Let's move on. We can talk about that for like 8 straight.
And I'll probably never win podcasts. The argument. So.
Well, it's not an argument. And I want to say this before we continue, okay?
Okay.
This is politics. There's no right and wrong. There's no right and wrong. Well, there really isn't.
You know, we started with politics. What we've delved into is how human beings live. And to me, that's...
They're the same now.
It's sad.
They're the same. Oh, I know. But it used to be separate. Now it's all the same. Race relations, you know, life, politics, economics, it's all bunched into one. And when you're looking at our president, and once again, you said you voted for Trump. would you agree that the president of the United States should have some empathy and humility, and he should?
Absolutely.
You think he does?
I think he does. I think he doesn't express it always the best.
On a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being bad, how much empathy does he have?
How much empathy does he have, or how much empathy does he show?
Either one. On and then tell me what he said.
On a scale from 1 to 10, I think he has 9 empathy, and I think he shows 5.
You think empathy-wise he has a 9?
I think he really does care. I honestly do.
Oh, man. I mean, I couldn't see anything any different than that. You really believe that? We really believe that? Because honestly, what he says, okay, is documented that's going to be a lie. That's documented, by the way. I saw a show the other day, and they had a guy whose job was to look at statistics and see whether it's true or not. When our president's saying stuff like, oh yeah, the president of France called me today and said we're doing a fantastic job, and he didn't. And when, listen, I want you to listen to this one tweet. My wife sent it to me the other day. This is a tweet by Donald Trump. Tell me the empathy or humility in this tweet. Nobody could have done what I've done for Puerto Rico with so little appreciation, so much work. Where's the empathy in that tweet? Where is it?
I think anybody who doesn't understand that Donald Trump is extremely thin-skinned,
which means a dick.
To a fault.
Which means a dick, right?
Pretty much.
Okay.
To a fault, is kidding themselves. And I'm not going to sit here on your show or any other conversation I have.
How can you say 9? That's not a
because,
9,
because
Pete.
when I see him with people and I see him with kids, and he went to Houston and he's picking up kids and he's hugging people, I think, and I see him when he meets the head of Canada and he pats him on the back, I honestly think he likes people. I really do, but I think he likes himself and wants to be right way more than he likes people. It's more important to him for him to be right. And for him never to be wrong.
Okay, first of all, he doesn't like people. I don't know anybody ever created that likes people less. So do you know anybody in the history of people that anybody has to say one iota of something wrong and you're coming back full barrel? Because how many examples can I bring up? Honestly, if I literally Google Trump battle, how many names do you think are going to come up? From Rosie O'Donnell way back when to the mayor of San Juan. I mean, like, he battles everybody. He'll battle SNL. He'll battle every station known to man. All you got to do is say one thing negative, and he's coming at you.
And it's not his best attribute. I'm not gonna sit here and say
what is his best attribute.
What I think his best attribute is he's an outsider for a system in Washington, D.C. that is totally and completely broken.
I think that was an asset. I don't think it is anymore. I think it was going in, because when Donald Trump first got in, and we can go back to my first podcast, and I said this, I've always hated Donald Trump, and I've hated him before he was president. I just don't like anything that he's about. Never and never will. And I said, he may end up being the best president ever because he's not going to be political and he's going to do things non-political. Not like this. Not like this, because I heard him say today, and I wrote it down so I didn't make, he says, countries are starting to respect America again. You believe that?
You know, it's funny. I went to Greece for this summer for my wife and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. And I asked a lot of people in Greece. I said, "Do you laugh at America?" Because that's what they tell us. That's what the media tells us. They're laughing at us. They're embarrassed of you. I didn't find one person who told me that they laughed or they were embarrassed. I found people told me, "Well, our leader's not any better." I found people who said, "Well, I don't love Trump, but I understand that there's this anti-globalization movement, the Brexit movement going around, and I understand that." I didn't find one person who says they were embarrassed or they now maybe they didn't have the guts to tell me, or maybe that's really how they felt. But my little sample search of people in Greece, over in Europe, if they're laughing or embarrassed by us, I would say nobody said that they were. And I wasn't, I didn't say, "Hey, I'm a Trump supporter. You laughing at us?" Or, "Hey, I hate Trump. You laughing at us?" It was just a question I would ask tour guides. I'd ask, you know, people in a bar.
I think your body language is going to tell them that you're a Trump fan. I think my body language, you're sure enough to tell them that I'm not a Trump fan. And I'm from another country myself, Canada. And it started on the day of the election, the day after election, and it's continuing to anybody that I know going, what the hell?
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Ian. I'll admit that the guy's thin-skinned, and anybody who says he isn't, like I said, is kidding themselves. But if you had every major, said maybe Sands won, every major television network, ABC, NBC, CNN, every major, which used to be a respectable media outlets, the Washington Post, the New York Times, they're dissecting every move you make, everything you say, minute by minute by minute. And sometimes, because they don't like you taking things either out of context, leaving out words that change the meaning of something, or sometimes they get it wrong. There was a story yesterday that Trump said he wanted to, it was in a meeting, and he wanted to expand the nuclear arsenal tenfold. Well, Mattis came out right after that and said, not only did he say it, it's dangerous for anybody to say he did. CNN, who will never get behind Trump, actually had a reporter said, I spoke to three people in the room, and none of them said that he ever said that. So I'm driving down here to your palatial lounge here today, and I'm listening to them dissecting every word he said, that he said yesterday on an interview with Sean Hannity, that he had made up the deficit that Obama administration had by the stock market gaining $5 billion. Well, I listened to that interview. He didn't say that. He used a word. He said, you can say that because we've grown financially, that it's offset the debt. He didn't say that it replaces the debt. He said, well, you could say, yeah, you could say that he didn't. So, but they leave off the you could say, and they take the rest as a statement and say, well, that's factually not true. Of course it's not true. Of course you can't pay back the debt of this country because from the stock market money. He was trying to make a point that the country is better off and that the financially that we're flourishing. That's the point he was trying to make. But then every single solitary person cuts in half. He made a statement. Let me just say one more thing. He made a statement the other day. He was meeting with his generals. He called everybody in and he said, what was the exact word? The calm before the storm. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm here with the generals, we're all together, and maybe this is the calm before the storm. And he had a smile on his face, and he winked. But nobody reported maybe. Maybe is a big word.
He's the president of the United States. Come on now. Let me step in, please. And by the way, we're talking to David Penzer. We're not going to say Trump fan, but more so a supporter than myself, okay?
That's fair.
When the hell did we not dissect a president's vernacular with a fine tooth comb? When did that happen that we didn't? Give me one thing. Give me one thing in 8 years that President Obama said that was dumb. I'll wait.
President?
In 8 years.
Let me tell you something. I'm 51 years old. Barack Obama is one of the, if not the most charismatic, well-spoken person I have ever seen in my lifetime. I didn't agree.
So am I compared to Donald Trump.
I didn't agree with him politically a lot of ways.
And nor did I.
But he was a different kind of president. And Trump is a different kind of president.
Now, statistics for you. Once again, I wrote them down. Statistics from computers. Because I can say this cup weighs 12 ounces. It either does or it doesn't. Okay. So everything Donald Trump ever says, you know what Donald Trump fans do? Well, he didn't mean this. He meant this. Well, if you take this word out, it means this. Whatever you say, that's what it means, by the way, because Donald Trump says crazy stuff every single day, and I have to hear from Trump fans what he actually meant. When in actuality, what he said is what he actually meant, because I have a microphone in my face every single day, and I'm going to let you know this, everybody listening. What comes out of my mouth, I mean. Don't move any words around. Statistics. 5% of what he says is true. 12% is mostly true. 15% is half true, which is almost a lie. 12% is mostly false. 33% is false. 15% is pants on fire, which means you're on the other end of the spectrum. Like if you say, I'm the whitest guy in the world, that's pants on fire. 15% of his comments are that. So for people to still be sitting back and tell me that this guy's doing a good job, for me, is tough. Because when I see Jemele Hill come out and there's like, and she says, Donald Trump's a white supremacist, okay? I'd be like, well, that was really gutsy to say. Like, I don't know if I would have said it. But if you really think about it, the decisions he makes, every single one of them, and you could tell me one that if I'm wrong, every single one of them, as an African-American man, I would think that's the same decision a white supremacist would make. I'm not calling him one. But every single decision there is over immigration, anybody with brown skin, he goes against every single one. And you could think if you want.
I am.
Okay, but you're thinking really hard because there's a lot against, a lot. He's going to go to Puerto Rico and he's going to mock the whole country, talk about they're in debt. Puerto Rico, Puerto Rico. He's a dick. He's our president and he's running our world. Is he going to be around for 4 years straight years? Because if he's around for four straight years at this pace, the country will dissolve.
Here's my prediction. My prediction is not only will he be around for 4 years, my prediction is if the Democrats run a progressive candidate too far to the left in 2020, he's going to win again.
They ran with the only person he could have beat in the universe. Seriously. Hillary Clinton, I think at the time, she's the only person he could have. She had so much baggage. And then obviously the help from the Russians as well.
Oh, come on.
You're not going to do that, are you? You're not going to
do that. Do you think that they changed one vote?
Yeah, it's a fact.
You do?
No, it's a fact. Okay, do you believe in our FBI? Yes or no? Do you believe in our FBI?
I don't know anymore.
Okay, well, then there you go.
I don't know anymore.
You don't believe in politics then.
I don't know anymore. But let me ask you a question. You talked to statistics about the truth that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth. How much that comes out of Nancy Pelosi's mouth do you believe? How much that comes out of Chuck Schumer's mouth that do you believe?
They're not the president.
I understand, but they're leaders in this country, and they're leaders of the opposite party. And politics, everybody in politics lies. It's not a secret.
Yeah, but dude, let me tell you
something.
And
that's not an excuse, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Okay, because when people are talking about Donald Trump and the mess and the shit that he's crapping all over the place, okay, I don't want to hear, well, what about Hillary's emails? Hillary is
not. I didn't say anything about Hillary's
emails. Oh, but a lot of people do. Because once again, I watch all the stations. And if I have to hear about Hillary's emails anymore, she's not the president and nor will she ever be the president. Let's talk about the president that we have in office right now and some of the shenanigans and tomfoolery that's going on. Right now,
I would say that you say that 5% of what he says is the truth. It's
well,
also
I didn't say that.
You know, the
computer said that.
Yes, sir.
It's a computer.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
I would also say that there's studies by Harvard that show that 95% of what comes out of CNN is negative coverage.
That's fact.
Okay.
Okay. Once again, we talked about Bill Maher. It's still 99%.
But
Hannity. -1%.
Bill Maher is not the same as CNN. CNN is supposed to be a journalistic outlet.
But once again. Okay,
but doesn't that scare you, Ian?
No, because they were neutral during Obama, who was a neutral person.
But
Trump is not a neutral person.
Doesn't scare you that journalism is no longer about finding the truth and telling the truth?
Does it scare me?
But
you know how long I've been in the media? Okay, I've been in the media. First of all, I played in the NFL for 9 years, which is almost in the media, okay? Then I was in the media for, it's got to be 16 years now. You're going to tell me I'm going to be shocked that the media is
I didn't say you were shocked. I said, does it scare you?
No, it's fact.
Oh.
I get stories in front of me every day when I'm in the media. And you know how they're written? However, the person who wrote it wants you to read it. And that's the same
as
television.
But that's not the definition of a journalist. When a journalist is supposed to look at a story independently, regardless of their feelings.
It's impossible. It's like being a Buccaneer fan and watching a game objectively. It's impossible. If you're a Conor McGregor fan, you couldn't have watched that fight objectively because you're one-sided. It doesn't work. The media doesn't work that way. You know that. There's no neutral stations.
Obviously not, but they're so – I mean, they don't even try to hide it anymore.
Of course not.
I mean
– Nor does the other side now. Nor does the other side. I watch both sides. And the other side – and I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I wasn't even born in this country. I'm an American citizen. I wasn't born here, so I'm not either side. So I listen to both sides, and there's times where I hear something that Republicans say, I go, I'm totally for that. And in the other side as well, okay? Both sides talk out their ass. But one side is bringing facts. The other side is just explaining. They're explaining and apologizing.
I don't know if
He's actually saying it. He's actually saying, okay, so this is a fact, okay? He went to Puerto Rico late. Stuff couldn't get off of car. I know people who have family in Puerto Rico.
I do too.
They couldn't get anything. They were dogging everybody. He was the devil. Then he got there and told us how great of a job he was doing. Then he gets there, mocks the way it's pronounced, which is just disrespectful. He's throwing around paper towels, and which is disrespectful. I don't care what anybody else says. If it's not disrespectful in your world, that's fine. In my world, that's disrespectful. So everything is disrespectful as you're going. You're talking bad about their politics. You're talking bad about their economy when they're underwater and have no electricity. That is the most unpresidential. Okay, when they talk about political correctness, after this guy's out, you have to take that saying out. Because there's no such thing as political correctness, because if he's a politician, we can't say political correctness anymore. I don't want to hear it anymore. Seriously. Who's less politically correct than Donald Trump? Give me one person in the world. One person in the whole world least politically correct than him.
That was his attraction to a lot of his voters, to a lot of his fans. Because we live in a world where the Boy Scouts are now the Boys and Girl Scouts of America. We live in a world where everything has to be equal. We live in a world where the Lynch family in suburban Seattle, Washington, had donated money to build an elementary school, a middle school, and a high school. Their name has now been taken out of those schools by the city council because they didn't want a student to think that it was referring to lynching back in slavery days.
I agree, to me, that's insane. I agree with everything you're saying right now, okay? And that's more of a Republican mentality. Do you agree with that? It's more of a Republican mentality. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Something happened the other day. What happened in Vegas with the shooting? Awful, right? You're not allowed to say it's not awful. The costume stores in Las Vegas, they won't display anything with blood on it or a knife.
And I even understand that more than the
you
Lynch
do,
thing.
Really?
Or the Girl Scout, Boy Scout thing.
A knife.
Who's selling the cookies now?
I mean, seriously, we're so scared to make people uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
That when they do get uncomfortable.
I'm glad we finally agree on something.
Well, yeah, we did. It took a while.
Because it sucked when we didn't.
It took a while. But we're so scared to make somebody uncomfortable that when they get uncomfortable, they have no idea to do it yourself. But once again, I'm not a politically correct guy. I'm a sensitive guy. But it doesn't get any less politically correct than the president. And I just don't know if that's a good place, because when you talk about racism, there are racists out there. You agree with that?
Racists in South Tampa?
There's racists everywhere in the world.
Unfortunately,
okay,
yes.
Okay, yes. Okay, so in Charlottesville, those guys carrying the torch are racists, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Donald Trump basically told them that they were equally as bad as the people that confronted, okay, their evil march. So Donald Trump said of the Charlottesville racists with the torch, there's good people in there.
Yeah, and I don't think he should have said that.
And know what he said about
the
NFL players kneeling? Those son of a bitches need to lose their job. You don't think that's one-sided? I hope you think that's one-sided.
I don't think, and I might be wrong.
You don't think that's one-sided?
I do, but I don't think he thinks color. I really don't. And I know you're going to hammer me, and I'm
ready
for it.
You don't think that Donald Trump sees color?
No, I really don't.
Oh, my God. See, now I have to move on. I have to move on. Seriously. The guy grew up in a country club. You don't think Donald Trump sees color? You think he respects women? Move on.
No, he probably doesn't.
Not probably, nothing. If somebody says, does Ian Beckles respect women? Any woman around me is going to go 100%. His wife don't even like him. Can you see it in her eyes? His wife don't like him.
She's sticking around.
Well, she has to stick around. It's part of the whole spiel, but she clearly doesn't like him.
I got to say, I thought this was going to be fun. I was wrong.
No, I got to keep on going with this Harvey Weinstein guy, since we're talking about guys that are just grabbing peas. That's the mentality of those rich F's out there. And they've been allowed to do this for a long time. What's your view on that whole thing?
We're on Weinstein now.
Yeah, let's jump to Weinstein. We can do that.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually thought this was going to be fun. Jason, remind me next time.
You need a drink? We have some alcohol.
I don't start this early, but if I did, I would.
It would be, make it easier.
You make a good argument, by the way, Mr. Beckles.
We got some value.
No drugs.
And that's good.
Harvey Weinstein, I think that I think it's gross. I understand the casting couch. I don't agree with it, but you know, I understand that was the mentality. But if you listen to this guy, he was like begging. I don't understand as a man how you get excited by a good looking girl watching you take a shower.
Well, he's a deviant though.
Yeah.
He's not. Yeah. Listen, Bill Cosby is a sexual deviant.
Yeah.
Because he can get sex. He can have sex. But obviously he got into something else that I've never really done. Like, I'm not trying to drug a girl and not have her remember what's going on.
Well, I don't see any.
Well, maybe he sucks in bed. Maybe he sucks in bed. He's drugging them so they don't remember it. But he did it to a lot of them.
Well, I think he was drugging them so he could do it. But then,
Bill Cosby, though, Bill Cosby could have slayed a lot of young ladies back in the day. Come on, now it's Bill Cosby. Sweaters, jello pudding. That's Bill Cosby. It's worth umpteen.
I almost think
dollars.
It's a control thing on both sides. I think if you're in control, if the girl is knocked out, I think you're in control. If you feel like you're in control, if the girl's watching you take a shower, I don't get either of it. I think it's both disgusting.
He cornered girls and was pleasing himself in front of them.
Yeah, I know.
That's past deviant.
I heard an interview yesterday. You might have heard it too on Anderson Cooper with
somebody. Them all.
Yeah, with you know, went down and cornered her and started getting off. I don't even understand that. You know, as a man, I don't even understand that. I don't understand how you get excited because you got some woman cornered.
What's sad about the whole thing is they went back and there was a couple comedians. I'm trying to remember the one comedian, the black kid. He was in Philadelphia and he was in an improv and he said, he was talking about Bill Cosby. And he looks at everybody, he goes, go ahead and Google Bill Cosby rapist and see what comes up. And everybody's like, oh, you can't say that. He goes, no, seriously, Google it and see what comes up. And if you pull it up, there's umpteen things come up. And so everybody knew this was kind of happening, but kind of allowed it to happen. And that's the same thing with Weinstein. It was, they made a joke on it on 30 Rock. They made a joke on it at the Oscars. And just like, and I compared it today when I was on air to Jerry Sandusky, okay? Jerry Sandusky was enabled to rape little boys. He was allowed to because he was caught red-handed and continued to do it after that. Weinstein's the same way. They had people that complained, had all the evidence. Things were still swept, and people knew it was happening, and they were actually bringing young girls to this guy.
Well, power corrupts.
I'm scared that money's that strong. It's sad for me. And with the Jerry Sandusky thing, that couldn't have been just money. It has to be culture, doesn't it? Has to be the culture.
Well, power corrupts, and it's sad. And look, member of the wrestling business, still am, and I'm not going to say that there's never been anything that I've seen in the wrestling business that that everybody kind of turned the other way because they were powerful people.
I heard there's a lot of homosexual relations in wrestling.
I don't know anything about that, but I know
but
that
have
was
you heard.
Yeah, that was before I got in. That was when I was a fan and before I got in the business. I know that whole thing went. There was a whole thing that went down with Ring Boys and stuff like that. That was before my time. But yeah, the world has changed.
How?
Because a lot this stuff used to be explained away, and it
what
used
stuff?
To, excuse me.
What stuff has been explained? Was explained?
The Harvey Weinstein, the Bill Cosby. You know, I could see. Not that it's right. Not.
That's the thing. I mean, that's okay. That I understand that times have changed, but they just got caught. That's all. That's the only thing that happened. They just got caught. They should have been caught a long time ago because they were outed. It took this long for these guys to get caught. 30 years. That's crazy to me. For that to go on in an industry for 30 years and for people that high to like, you know, Angelina Jolie and all those kind of people, I guess they didn't want to bust him out because he was so powerful. But isn't it more important for it to not happen anymore for me?
I think so. But powerful people are allowed to get away with disgusting things. I think we've seen that throughout history. And the one good part of political correctness, if I could say the one good part of the political correctness, is this is not acceptable anymore. People are starting to out these guys.
I disagree.
How?
They got caught. I was listening to Drew Garabo's show the other day, and he's talking about women in professional, you know, positions, and they were calling in the droves. And they were saying, listen, I'm in a world of men. I got to walk up in there, and if I bust one of them out, I'm going to be in trouble. If you're a salesperson and you're selling to a bunch of rich dudes and guys are grab-assing, you can stop and say, you will not do that, but you probably won't be invited back. And no. That's what they were saying, that this is a man's world, and we almost have to just deal with it. She says, I will squash it, but I don't make a big deal because I know that's just the way it is. So I just don't think it's, I don't think it's changed. I really don't.
It's sad. I hope it has.
It hasn't. You been in country clubs before?
Nah, not a lot.
Good.
DJing maybe.
Good. Cause I've been in country clubs before and I think they suck. And the mentality of a lot of them, and I'm talking every country club, obviously. Everything's different. The mentality of those rich SOBs was a lot like Weinstein and Donald Trump and maybe Bill Cosby and some other rich cats out there. And I want to respect women myself. I got daughters. I got a wife. I respect all of them. And I want to be around people that respect women. And when Donald Trump came out and he was talking about that videotape grabbed by the pee, and then he said, well, that's locker room talk. I've never been in a locker room and anybody talk that way.
Oh, I have.
I haven't. I'm telling you. If I'm in a locker room and I'm sitting with people and they're like, hey, man, I grabbed this girl in a pee, you know what I would say? That's rape. Real talk. I've never heard a guy talk like that.
Oh, I have a lot.
But why do you know the guy? Why are you hanging around with that guy?
I don't hang around with him, but you share a locker room with people. You hear a lot of different things.
Okay, but when I'm thinking locker room, I'm thinking teammates. You know what I mean?
Well,
and
I was in the wrestling business. It was just that it wasn't teammates. It was other wrestlers or other performers. And,
sure.
And I've heard a lot worse than grab him by the pee. Was it appropriate? It's the only time the guy ever apologized in his life, probably.
Did
so,
he apologize?
Yeah, he did.
Who was it?
No. I'm talking about Donald Trump.
Oh, did he apologize?
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
He actually apologized. He doesn't apologize.
No, he doesn't apologize, which should say something. Shouldn't we all apologize?
I agree.
We all make mistakes.
Look, hey, I started out by saying that while I'm a Trump supporter, I don't agree with a lot of what
he does.
You're
still a Trump supporter?
Yeah. I think that
what has to happen for you not to be a Trump supporter?
I think that for me not to be a, well, if I ever found out that he said or did anything, you know, the locker room talk thing doesn't offend me. I understand it offends women. I understand it's disgusting.
He's had numerous sexual assault cases against him. Numerous. Like Weinstein. Numerous.
There's not been any cases filed. There's been accusers.
Numerous. He has a lot of money.
But there's
Bill
been
O'Reilly,
accusers.
Is Bill O'Reilly a pig?
If what they said about him is true, yes. And obviously, yes, because he settled. Yeah.
There you go.
Look, there is nobody, especially if you lean to the right. I'm actually really surprised by the Weinstein thing, because usually if you lean to the left, you get a little bit more leeway from the media. But if you lean to the right, especially these days, if you got anything in your closet, then you better run, because Eric Bolling, boom, done. Bill O'Reilly, boom, done.
Anything in your closet? That's not anything in your closet when numerous women are taking you to court. That's not anything in your closet. Okay, those are pretty substantial things. And for somebody that has good ratings to lose their job, you know very well that wasn't no little thing. And that was more of a culture thing as well.
Sure,
okay?
Sure.
Okay, so if I guarantee for all the ones people that complained, there had to be hundreds of other women that just go, you're just a pig. I think he's just a pig. That's it. Because anybody that I know, from what I'm hearing, the allegations and stuff, cool cats don't do that, man. They don't do that. And I still hear people trying to, you know, defend the dude. I don't understand that. I really don't. Because you think these women want their whole lives to be dragged all over the place? A lot of them aren't doing it for the money. They just want to say, this guy has to stop. So I have respect for those women. And I certainly don't have respect for him, because I've heard him on his tirades before. And he don't sound
well,
like anybody I'm going to hang out with.
This is cliche, but you could say the same thing for Bill Clinton. You could say the same thing for John Kennedy.
Okay.
You could say the same thing for Ted Kennedy. It's a different time. Not that that's right, but there were things that were accepted that nobody talked about.
Bill Clinton and Kennedy were loving those ladies. There's a difference.
Well, there's
a difference.
Hold on. Is there not people that have accused Bill Clinton of rape?
That I don't know.
Yes.
Possibly.
He settled a lawsuit.
It wouldn't shock me at all.
He settled a lawsuit.
Look who he's married to. I get it. Obviously, you don't want to condone anything, but he had to step out. You don't want to put, listen, I've lived here in 1990 the whole time. And if any woman comes out and said, Ian did anything wrong to me, they could come on my podcast and talk about it. Okay. But there's just too many guys out there, and unfortunately, they're rich ones with all the credibility, so to speak, that are treating women like dogs. They really are. And it's getting to a point now where it shouldn't be all right anymore for guys to be grabbing up on. It shouldn't be okay.
No, it's not okay. Never okay.
But it is, though, because I'm hearing that it is okay. I don't want to see it around me, and it's not around me because I would say something, I swear to God. But it happens all the time because I'm hearing these women talk about it, and I think it's getting to a point where it's getting sad now because it's 2017 and we want things to be progressing, and let's hope that they are.
I agree.
You do believe that things are progressing, right?
Yeah, but I think some people take it to extreme. That's my worry. The Lynch High School thing.
That's an extreme.
You know, look, Christopher Columbus was a horrible guy, sure. But, you know, you want to start tearing down statues? My thing is, Dr. Seuss is a racist is now the latest one.
I agree with what you're saying. Like, okay. A statue, okay? If a statue's been there for 100 years, let's sit there.
Well,
there's lessons
to be learned from the mistakes that we've made, and to try to take away those mistakes and erase them like they never existed, that doesn't help. That doesn't help at all.
I agree. You can say, hey, this is Robert E. Lee. He did this. He did this. You can say the negative things, too.
Absolutely.
But it's part
of
the history. And if you take the statue away, a bunch of people that didn't know the statue was even there will be there celebrating. And another bunch of people didn't know the statue was there will be there wanting to keep the statue. They didn't know it was there before, but they just really don't want you to take their statue. And it's just,
Well, and I mean, look at Dr. Seuss. I mean, in 1942, he drew a cartoon of a Asian man with slanty eyes and a pig snout. Well, let's go back to 1942. 1942, they were our enemy. We eventually had to drop a nuclear bomb, the only time a nuclear bomb has ever been dropped, on Japan because they were our enemy. And I'm not even saying that it was right that he drew it. I'm just saying that we were putting Asian people in internment camps. Was that right? It was horrible. But you have to remember what the times where people were reacting, probably overreacting, and to label Dr. Seuss a racist because he drew, in 1942, he drew a mock of an Asian with a snout nose?
No, but let me ask you this question, okay? You're talking about a 1942. What was race relations like? White people against Asians and white people against black people in 1942. Not very good, right?
No.
Okay, so if somebody draws an Asian person or draws a black person, maybe it should be changed in 2017 because if they drew a picture of a black guy with a spear and big lips, which they were doing, should we be showing our kids that? Maybe it's time to change it. Maybe because an Asian person in 2017 is not a slanty-eyed person with a pointy hat. They don't look like that anymore.
No, but what I would tell my children is that what I would tell them the history of what happened and the history of...
What about the Asian kids that are reading it? And they're looking at them as a caricature.
It was in a museum.
It's a caricature, though.
No, I know.
You know what I mean?
It was in a museum. And I don't, you know, I don't know. I just don't think taking it down changes anything. Making it go away doesn't change what happened. Doesn't change the sentiment back in 1942. So explain to your children what the sentiment was in 1942 and why it was wrong. And why we locked people in internment camps because they were Asian, and why it was wrong, and why it should never happen again. Instead of taking the picture down.
So what if I'm watching Bugs Bunny, and it did have there was some episodes like this where they had a little guy with the spear and the big lips that came out of the jungle that could barely speak English. Should your kids see that?
No, I don't see any positive in that.
I don't either. That's the thing. I mean,
but should we show All in the Family? That's still one of my favorite shows of all time.
I mean, I watch every episode.
Yeah, exactly.
And at the time, I didn't even know it was racist, to be honest with you. It just was what was going on. And when they brought the Jeffersons on and there was racism going on both ways.
Yeah.
So
when they start banning All in the Family and the Jeffersons, is that okay? And when they want to close Stone Mountain, which I don't know if you've ever taken your family, I didn't even know who the guy on the mountain was. All I knew is you go, you bring a blanket, you go on, you take your kids on some rides, and they do a wonderful patriotic fireworks show and laser show with great music and all that, and then you take your blanket, you fold it up, you go back.
But All in the Family couldn't be developed today.
Oh, no, not at all.
But somebody can't watch it and say it's vulgar. It's not vulgar. Because there's the racism in 2017 is overt. It's in your face. That was like low-key racism. You know what I mean? Like, your kid could watch it and not really even know it's racism. I didn't know it was racism. I really didn't. So I don't think that's an abrasive show by any means. I mean, they're still got their beds separate. You know, it's just an old-school show. And it was an old-school mentality. So I don't think that's the same as the cartoons and stuff with the caricatures and generalizations that maybe can sway, you know, some of these young kids.
I just don't understand running from history. I would rather explain history and explain why people have made a lot of mistakes in this country and will continue to make a lot of mistakes in this country. And for the record, our president is one of them. And he will continue to make mistakes. I do think that if he is able to really do the things he wants to do for this country with and has the ability to do that without getting bogged down in tweets and feuds, then I think that there's some good things that can happen.
But you think that's going to happen?
I could only hope, but then I wake up today and see what he said, what he tweeted about San Juan, and I say, and I have to shake my head.
Every morning.
Every
morning he tweets something crazy.
By the way, what he said wasn't wrong. Because how do you pay for it? You have an island that was, the infrastructure was shot, and they were broke before this happened. And so normally the federal government's response in an emergency is to come in and prop up the local government until the local government could get themselves back working again and then be back in a support role.
Remember what I asked you to begin with? How much empathy he has? How much empathy was in that tweet? We're not going to stay here forever.
Is that what Puerto Rico
wants to see right now?
No, absolutely.
Rican American wants to see right now?
And like I told you, I woke up, I saw that, I said, today, when I'm going to debate politics with Ian Beckles, you got to put that out.
And you're not Puerto Rican.
And I can't defend it, and I won't defend it. What I'll say is it's true, and what I'll say is it's the situation on the ground is an unfathomable situation that I don't think has ever happened in modern history in this country. So it's going to be tough, and it's going to cost a lot of money. And, you know, he comes out with a tax plan, whether you like it or not, and first thing Chuck Schumer says, how are we going to pay for it? Nobody says, how are we going to pay to totally rebuild a country, an island that was broke, that is going to take billions and billions of dollars? I'm not saying, by the way, we shouldn't pay for it, but I'm sure that he has people saying, how are we going to pay for this? And it's an honest question to ask. To me, at least, it's an accurate question. Is today the right time? Absolutely not. Stupid, dumb, unacceptable. But it is a question that should, at some point, is going to have to be asked. How much are they going to have to contribute? They don't have anything to contribute. How much are we willing to go into debt? How much is appropriate to go into debt? And I'm not saying we shouldn't go into debt and raise taxes and leave San Juan the most beautiful, leave Puerto Rico the most beautiful place that it's ever been in the best condition. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but I'm saying it is a discussion, because if tax reform is a discussion, because how are we going to pay for it, then fixing a broke country that has no infrastructure has to be territory has to be a discussion as well. Was it the right place to bring it up this morning? No. I shook my head, I rolled my eyes, and I said, really, today, when I have to go talk about politics?
Well, not the wrong thing to bring up at the wrong time is really what he does. Okay, we have to start admitting that. And really, to Puerto Rico, the only real important question to them is, how much do you really care? How much do you really care? And that's not a statement that says, I really, 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 really care about you, that we're not going to be here forever. Okay, we understand that, but how about we're gonna stick it out with you guys and do what we can do? It's about the same thing.
I agree.
But it sounds different.
And the thing that I don't like about Twitter is you can't put any context to it. I would have to hope, as somebody who still does support this guy, albeit roll my eyes on a regular basis, I would have to hope that there was context to it that you just can't do in 140 characters.
Once again, that's everything, though. You keep on doing that. You've done it. How many times have you done that for Donald Trump? How many times have you done that? Exactly what you're doing right now. Every day for the last 9 months? Every day for the last 9 months, you're trying to explain what he was trying to say.
Well, in all fairness, he's not a polished speaker.
In all fairness, he's the worst speaker I've ever heard.
I wouldn't disagree.
With somebody with a microphone? Somebody who gets a microphone on a consistent basis. Because if he was somebody else, if he worked for a station or something, they'd have took that microphone away ages ago. ages ago.
NBC gave him a microphone years ago, and he had
to make money.
Yeah.
Those are totally different things. He doesn't get along with anybody around him. Everybody has to go around him, and it's happened already, and it's not over. There'll be more people go down. There's more people going down real soon. Real soon.
I think a lot of the palace intrigue stuff is overblown, quite frankly. There was an article in Vanity Fair that came out. None of it was nobody was on the record. I mean, you could say anything. I could go on my podcast that I'm taping tonight, and I could say Ian Beckles is the worst person I ever met, and he is a horrible offensive lineman. And I'm not saying anything. That's obviously not true, but I could say it.
No, that's not true. It can be true because some people believe that.
What, that you're the worst person ever?
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Sure. I mean, maybe.
I don't know you well.
There's some people out there. There's some people think I was a terrible lineman. I mean, that's just an opinion. That's fine. But once again, the president of the United States can't be up there giving us his opinion. We need some facts and some
truth.
But
I think we need some facts from the media. If you're going to say that he's telling people I hate everybody in the White House, if you're going to say that he doesn't get along with everybody, if you're going to say that he's suffering a mental breakdown, I heard the same stuff on the campaign trail.
Listen to the words that are used from inside the White House.
But do we really know it's inside the White House?
Did any of it happen under any other president ever?
Well, this
did is, you ever no, hear
because
anybody?
You've never had a media that has gone
have
all
you,
in
have
to
ever,
destroy a
okay,
human
but we've
being.
On the flip end of it, we've never had this type of president that deserves it as much as he does. How many presidents are going to walk in 9 months, have seven people replaced? These are the words that are used from people inside the White House. Unprepared, unraveling, unstable.
And though, who was on the record? Is that Corker?
A lot of them. Some of them that are gone. Some of them that were fired. Some of them that are still there. Some moron was used. All right?
Here's what I'd have to say about that. When you are an outsider and you're going into a place like Washington, D.C., and you're promising to mess it all up and drain the swamp. I'm not a big drain the swamp fan of the words drain the swamp. But if you're promising, quote unquote, to drain the swamp, isn't the swamp going to fight back? And if the media will buy anything that the swamp says and go
swamp?
Out. No, you're not a D.C. Last I knew, as far as I know, you're not a D.C. insider. But if you're Mitt Romney or if you're Bob Corker, if you're a senator, if you're McConnell, you're just as disgusted by him trying to limit your power or call you out than you are if you're a Democrat. There's a reason that all these Republicans came out against him, and I don't think it was because they thought he was going to be such a horrible president. They don't want their status quo messed with. They have all the power. They do nothing, in my opinion.
They hate him because right now, if they had somebody who was on the fence, Republicans may rule for a long time. Okay, after Donald Trump, they may not get another one. He may mess it up that much to where you might not get another one for a while. Seriously, because Donald Trump's going to represent Republicans for a long time after this. And when the next president comes, if he's Democrat and a Republican belly aches about something, you're going to go like this. Look what Donald did.
Ian, there are a lot of people out there that will look at the situation, and I see it on my Facebook tweet. I see it on Twitter, although I don't comment it all the time. There are a lot of people out there that voted for him, that still support him way more strongly than I do, quite frankly, that will say, I want Mitch McConnell gone. He's the Speaker of the House. I want Bob Corker gone. I want Ben Sasse gone. And I support Trump. There's a lot of them out there, and there's a lot more that you know.
Those are scary ones. Those are scary because Donald Trump can't be wrong. All the people that he fired are wrong, and everybody there that's questioning him is wrong. That's the problem with our country. The people that are that far that way are the problem. People are too far this way, they're the problem too.
I wouldn't
There's problems on both sides, no doubt about it. But if you're the person who believes that Donald Trump is a credible president, when people are just getting fired every week, and somebody says one thing negative, they get fired. Somebody says one thing about him, they get abused. I mean, it's not even human.
Well, he says he's a counterpuncher. I don't like it, and I never liked it. And truth be told, I started as a Marco Rubio fan. So I actually hated Trump as a candidate. I was as appalled as you are. But here's what happened. And I know so many people that this happened to. I have so many friends that couldn't stand Donald Trump, but couldn't stand Hillary Clinton. And they didn't know what to do. And this is a true story. And they would watch the media in the months leading up to the election. And the media would take every single small little thing that Donald Trump did and make it into the worst thing in the world.
Give me one example.
They continued to do it.
I've never seen Donald Trump do a small thing. Never one time. I've never seen him do something small. Never. He doesn't do squat small. He does everything he does has to be on. If he didn't say, he could have said this. Listen, if the football players are truly American, they should stand. He could have said that. And that's not crazy. Roger Goodell came out and said, we believe that all NFL players should stand. There's nothing wrong with that. Those SOBs need to stand and they need to be fired is what's the problem.
I'll give you an example that just happened. I'll give you an example. He had an interview and they asked him about the guy calling him a moron. And he made an off the cuff. Apparently, even the guy who did the interview said he was smiling and laughing about it and said, I don't think that happened, but if it did, we'll compare IQs. That's what he said. If it did, we'll compare IQs. Is that a juvenile thing to say? I admit, yes, it is. You want to know what the lead story on CNN was?
So you admitted that our president speaks out juvenilely? He speaks like a juvenile?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a good thing to say, is it? For a president to say something that's juvenile? That's okay?
And I don't support that. But I think that at his core, his ideas, his plans, the things he wants to do, the tax cuts, the infrastructure. I honestly believe that that's good for this country. And I think he says a lot of stupid things. I've said it over and over and over again here, probably more than I thought I was going to. But, because I'm not going to look you in the face and you're an intelligent guy and say, well, yeah, that was a smart thing to say. But he made a comment that, well, if he did say that, we'll compare IQs. The lead story on CNN that day was Big Chiron, Trump challenges Tillerson to an IQ test. That's not what he said. It's not close to what he said.
It's not.
He didn't challenge anybody.
It's not.
He mentioned in
passing. If I said to you at the end of this interview, well, you're dumb. Let's compare IQs. I'm not saying I'm smarter than you. That wouldn't be that.
But you're saying to me, he didn't say it to Tillerson. He said it to a reporter.
But it's the same thing. If somebody says, well, David Pencer said this about you. And I go, well, you tell David Pencer that we should compare IQs. That's me saying I'm smarter than you.
But
that's not coming out of my mouth against anybody.
But my point is he didn't challenge anyone. And if you're going to tell the truth, there's enough there that you can report the story accurately and make a case that it was a dumb thing to say.
Now,
he didn't challenge anybody.
If somebody says to me, I don't think Ian Beck was a good football player, you know what I say? Well, let's go put our hands on the ground. What's that saying? Same thing. Exact same thing. What am I saying to the guy? What am I saying to him? If you put your hand on the ground, I'm going to whoop your ass. That's a football term. If you're saying, let's compare IQs, that's saying I'm smarter than you.
You don't think the maybe in calm before the storm counts? You don't think that changes
You know what maybe is?
What?
In the equivalent, in all due respect. Same thing. You say in all due respect to somebody, you're still not allowed to say what the hell you want to say.
But you don't think the media should include that, maybe?
No.
They basically said, he said this is the calm before
the
storm.
He's the president, man.
That's not what he said. He said maybe this is the calm before the storm.
As an athlete, okay, and I know that athletes are treated different than anybody else on earth, okay? Certain athletes lose the benefit of the doubt because they do dumb shit. That's a fact. He's lost the benefit of the doubt before he was president. Before Donald Trump was president, he lost benefit of doubt because there's a thousand stories that are disgusting. They're disgusting. And we don't have time to pull them up, but they're disgusting. Has to do with women, has to do with race relations, has to do with business, screwing people out of their money, screwing umpteen people out of their money, not letting black people in this building, screwing Hispanic. I mean, a lot of stuff. He's lost the benefit of the doubt. So anytime he says something that's borderline, which he never does, he's as blatant as can be. I'm just tired of hearing people explain to me what he really means when he really just keeps on saying the same thing to me. He just keeps on saying the same thing, and people keep on telling me that he doesn't mean that. When if I think I talk to Donald will look at me in my face and say, that's exactly what I mean. That's exactly what, like people say, when he says, well, these Mexicans, there's rapists and blah, blah. He, He's not saying all Mexicans are racist. He's not, but he is saying lots of them are.
Well, that was a disgusting comment.
Well, all his comments are like that. That kind of means this, but what if he means this? I think he's about as blatant as I am. When I say something, I just mean what I say. I just think he means what he says. And what he says to me, it just makes my skin crawl, unfortunately. Crawl.
And look, I see it. Mm-hmm. I understand. You think
you're still going to be a fan after 4 years? With this pace?
No, he needs to get some stuff done.
Thank you. Thank you.
He needs to stop with the tweets. He's not going to, by the way, but he needs to get some stuff done. And I honestly think that if he gets done what he wants to get done, and if the media and the pundits will let him do just a little bit of what he wants to do and do a little bit of honest reporting and fair reporting on the positives he's created, he's done a lot for the veterans. For the veterans as far as their medical services. I know veterans have said things have gotten, 100% better in 6 months. So you got to give him credit for that. The stock market is setting all-time records. Mm-hmm. So financial growth in this country is at 3%. People said that he couldn't get it to 3% in 4 years. He got it to 3% in 7 months. So some will say that Obama had led it in the right direction, and I'm not going to say that that's not true. But if he's... But there are people, the executives, who believe in his bigger picture will be good for America. He needs to stop getting bogged down in arguments and fights and personal things. And if he doesn't, in 4 years, I'll come back and say, you know what, Ian, you're right. It was a disaster.
Well, I have a feeling in 4 months we're probably going to do this again, and we're going to be talking about Donald Trump being impeached or something like that. And the executives love him. But the executives are like 1% of our population, and the executives are the wealthy people around, and everybody else, like in middle, have no money, and then there's the poor people. Everybody else living check to check.
I honestly think that Donald Trump, I honestly do. If no other reason that he wants to get credit for it, I honestly believe that Donald Trump would love to fix the inner cities and create growth in the inner cities.
Keep on thinking that's good. It sounds good. But Donald Trump ain't been to an inner city, nor have talked about an inner city, or knows anything about an inner city ever anywhere. Or nobody around him brings up inner cities, I promise you. Ask people in inner city what they've done. And if it's anything more than zero, I'll be shocked. I'll be shocked.
I understand your sentiment, but I honestly think that
Donald Trump's going to make noise in the inner cities after Barack Obama?
Don't
go on what he ran, please. That's going to sound bad. Don't go on what he ran. Because he ran on a lot of stuff that ain't happening. A lot of it, including a wall and a lot of stuff that we definitely don't have time to talk about, the damn wall, that it's not going to be created.
And for the record, I don't care about a wall.
Good. I'm glad you said that. That's a good way to end it. Now, David Penzer, that's a good way to end it. Wrestling Woo, announcer.
I need a drink.
You're good, man. I have one for you. How do people get in touch with you if they want to hit you up on social media?
If you want to, I don't talk politics on social media, good. So if you want to hit me up
Neither
on
Neither do I.
If you want to hit me up on politics, don't. But if you want to follow, if you're interested in professional wrestling and you want to listen to Sitting Ringside, where we have fun conversations with the guys that I got to know, and they tell their stories, and we have some fun every week, it's at David Penzer, all one word, or at Penzer Ringside. But this will be the one and only time probably that I'll be talking politics for a while. And in a public forum. I'd love to come back and say and try to say that he did this and he did this and he did this and he did this.
I would love that. I would love for you to come back and say this is what he did, but I don't know, dude. There's a lot of shenanigans happening. A lot. I don't know if it's gonna work. I don't disagree. I want it to work. Trust me. This is my country. I ain't going no damn where.
I'm happy to hear that. I think there are people that don't want it to work. I think people hate him so much.
I agree with that.
That they don't want it to work.
But you know what? That's coming off another president that was exact same way. A lot of people had Obama as the worst president ever before it even started. That's a fact.
I was on the record as saying that I hope that he's the greatest president we ever had. Yeah. Now, I don't think he was.
Some people say he was the worst.
I don't think he was the worst.
How do you measure that?
I don't know. You can't.
How do you measure that?
You can't.
We might find out how you measure it pretty soon. We're going to find out how you measure it soon.
What I'll tell you is just to wrap up my opinion of the Obama administration, I'm not a globalization guy.
Okay.
So if you're not a globalization guy, you're not going to like what he was doing, what he was trying to do. So that's all. Like I said, he's perhaps one of the most charismatic, if not the most charismatic, best-speaking person I've ever, one of the best ones I've ever seen in my life. I'd love to have a drink with the guy. I just don't agree with 70% of what he did.
Would you like to have a drink with Trump?
He doesn't drink.
Not to be trusted. Anybody doesn't drink, not to be trusted. So he's doing those tweets sober? That makes it worse. No, I'm being serious. If he was drunk, it'd make sense. But he's sober. He's taking something. You know that, right? As crazy as you know, he's taking something. He might be on that Michael Jackson propofol thing.
He only sleeps like 4 hours a night.
I think he sleeps upside down in a cave. But other than that, I love me some Donald Trump. All right, if you guys want to get in touch with me, it's at Ian Beckles, IanBeckles. My other podcast is In the Trenches, which comes out Monday. The Buccaneers play the Cardinals on Sunday a little bit late at 4 o'clock, but we're definitely hoping to get that done. For those of you looking for something to do this weekend, on Saturday I'm going to be at Oak and Stone in Sarasota. We're going to do the Flavor Show from 1 to 3 with Johnny B, and SBK will be with me as well. I'll be DJing from 3 to 4, and then on Sunday we're going to be at the Kimpton Hotel Zamora from 11 to 1 to do my show. We're going to have a little pool party out there. The last one was epic. A lot of lovely young ladies, if you're into that. And then we're going to be watching the Buccaneers game afterwards at 4 o'clock. So let's hope the Buccaneers get it done. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter, at Ian Beckles. And check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's in that flavor. Flavor. Bringing that flavor. Flavor.
Chef Brian Duffy here. I've got a new show called Duffified Live that's unlike anything you've ever heard. Each week, I'm going to be talking to some of my friends, some people I've never even met before. We're going to be talking about people that I meet on the road through some of my experiences. We're talking about restaurants, talking about great stories, great guests, wild adventures, the whole nine yards. Get Duffified Live with me, Chef Brian Duffy, each week on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.